to us that we can grab hold, we can glean from that, we can institute it into our lives, incorporate those things so that we see them come to pass. Amen. Amen. Well, we've got, I'm going to show you whatever we got. We have, what happened in the last few years is with COVID, it put a stop to my missions trips. And I had some things in the works. I had a plan to go to Albania to do a healing seminar and then over to Georgia. And they even printed one of my books in Georgian and distributed it and sold every single copy out, and I haven't been there yet. So I'm looking forward to that, but I don't know when that's going to be. Amen. So, and then I had a trip planned to Singapore and one planned to Africa, back to Ghana, and everything came crashing down where you couldn't do any traveling. So I have been halted ever since the fall of 2019, because then in the midst of it, my husband did go to heaven, and he's having a great time up there. We go from life to life, amen? So we don't know death like the world knows death. When you receive Jesus Christ, you entered eternal life. Amen. So we just transition over. And he's in a good place and surrounded by peace and joy and the presence of God and revelation that we have yet to see. And he's having a good time up there. I'm convinced of that. So it's just between now and when we get there. There's a grand reunion. So we don't rejoice. We don't grieve like those that grieve. We can rejoice when we know our loved ones are going home. They've gone home. And we're going to, you ever look forward to a family reunion? Amen. There's cousins or friends or relatives there that you haven't seen in 20, 30 years, and they're there. And it's like, wow. What a treat to see you. Well, it's going to be like that and beyond when we get there. But for now, I'm pastoring the church, and there's a whole lot more to it than what I had imagined. I thought, well, I do the same thing Gary does. I preach, and I teach, and I organize, and I put things together. But I didn't realize the weight, the responsibility that comes with it. And as pastor, as head of house, the buck stops here. The buck stops with your pastor. And that's something that all the things get done, but there can be a weight to it because you bear the responsibility. So keep your pastor in prayer. Amen. That's a really, really big deal. And I didn't realize how much. I didn't realize men as head of household, what they carry. But there's a weight there. There's responsibility there in so many different realms. So anyways, all that to be said, I haven't gone on a missions trip, and what I've been doing the last few years is sending extra money to some of our missionaries. I think we have 13 that we support, and we're going to show five of them today because this last year we sowed $1,000 into each one of them. And I just wanted you to see because you're finances. This is what you're sowing into. And these are fabulous ministries that I have full confidence in. And great work is being done. And when they talk about the dead being raised in Ghana, it is a real thing. Amen. You know, we're told in the word to do it. Doesn't leave a question mark. But you know, first you have to grasp hold of the fact that you can do what God's called you to do. That is that a possibility? Amen. Amen. I remember early on when I was first saved, is it possible for me to even talk to somebody about Jesus? I was so shy and so insecure. You have no idea what a miracle it is for me to stand here with a microphone in my hand before you. It is an absolute miracle. I hardly could stand looking at myself in the mirror, let alone have other people look at me. But God can equip us all. He has equipped us all. it's not just that he can. We've got to get over that hurdle and realize he has already done it. We have been redeemed. We've been bought. We've been paid for. He's delivered us unto us everything we have need of pertaining to this life and godliness. He's not left us ill-equipped. He's blessed us with abundance. Amen. Why? Because he loves you. Everything's wrapped around his love. Amen. And when we recognize, and you know, just recently I was looking in Revelations and the warning that's there about all the good things the church has done, church in Ephesus. You've done this and you've done that, and I commend you on this and that, and all this list of the good things they've done. But this one thing, what was the one thing? You've left your first love. And I think that's a challenge to each and every one of us, that we cannot, if you are not as in love and on fire as you were when you first came to know the Lord, then you need to back up and spend some time in the presence of God and begin to seek him like you never have before. He's coming back for a body. Amen. A spotless, pure, wrinkle-free, amen, without blemish, body of Christ. And that's you and me. What, us? Yeah, we might be the remnant. Amen. And you know, sometimes it gets a little discouraging when you look around and you don't see the numbers and the people that you used to see, but we can't allow that to affect us. What we need to do is center in on, I'm being prepared. Amen. What for? These end days. In case you didn't know, we're in the end days. All you got to do is turn on the news, but I don't listen to that too much. It's so filtered. Ugh, I'm not going there. But there's a number of things that we just need to prepare our heart for. We are in the end days, and God is coming back looking for a church that is aware of who he is and not just going through religious motions. One Jesus was hardest on were the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, because they were going through the motions. They were going by the letter of the law, and they had no love in them. They lost sight of what it was all about completely. And in Revelations, he says, it's one thing, your first love. I read something the other day which kind of surprised me. I had written a note down, and then I kind of lost track of the thought. You ever do that? And it says evangelism is birthed in worship. Evangelism is birthed in worship. Now, I don't know about you, but I remember early on evangelism, going out, handing out tracts, knocking on doors. It was something I feared. I was not excited about it. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an evangelist. Well, where's your heart? Where's my heart? Because we turn it into a ritualistic thing. But if we're in love with Jesus, worship comes out of love. Amen. If that's stirring in our heart, our love for God, it's just going to, out of the abundance of what? The heart, what happens? The mouth speaks. So we have in us what God has already planted in there, and it should be a natural outflow. Well, I don't know how to go. I don't know the force. I don't know the Romans road. I don't know. I don't trust I can remember all that. Don't worry about it. Do you know Jesus? Do you love Jesus? That's what you need to share. What you know about him, what you love about him, what he's done in your life. There was somebody in the restroom this morning, and we were talking about some different things where she was healed. Hallelujah. Amen. And it was exciting to hear all the miracles that God had done in her life. Well, that's an outflow of her gratitude of what God has done. A miracle-working God, amen? And that's the way it should be with us. It doesn't always have to be from way back when. What did he do for you today? Is he alive today? Is he alive today? The knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea. People are going to know. Amen. People are going to know about God's goodness. I mean, the whole world knew when Israel had to depend on God to provide for them food, water. Amen. When he had to make a way through that Red Sea. Amen. When he made a way through the Jordan River. He made a way for them. He's going to make a way for us. No matter what we're facing, no matter what mountain or river or anything we have to cross over in life, he's already, he is our provider. That means before, he sees before. What does he see before? What is needed. So he provides, he brings it. He sees it ahead, he makes it a way for it to get to you. Oh God, please, 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 God, I'm such need, please. He already saw it. He's already redeemed us. He's already given unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We don't have to beg for it. What we need to do is recognize it's there for us. What's there? Everything you have need of. Every bit of grace and anointing, every bit of wisdom and revelation, every bit of material needs and provision, he's already made it. Every healing, amen. The very life of God resides where? It's out there and we got to get it. It's in the evangelist's hand. We got to tap into it. Where's healing? Where is it? The greater one dwells where? The power that raised Christ from the dead dwells where? It's on the inside of you. The power, not a lesser power. It's the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells on the inside of us, and it even tells us why it's there. To quicken, make alive. King James' word quicken means to make alive our mortal body. When sin entered in, death did also. But sin, we've been redeemed from sin. We've been redeemed from the effects of sin. And we need to believe the word of God over the television commercials about sickness and disease. We set ourselves up sometimes. Oh, when I'm 40. Oh, when I'm 50. We start bringing black balloons to our friends when they're 30. Amen. Wheelchairs and walkers with rearview mirrors is a joke. But is it really a joke? Because we start buying into that line of thinking. Amen. What's the word say? He renews what? Our youth, like the eagles. You know, there's things that he's given unto us, but we might have to fight for it. Why? Because there's someone out there who's out to steal, kill, and destroy. God has plans and things for you to partake of. The enemy has his own plan devised to steal them from you. Are you going to let him do it? We've got to get right down on the inside of us. When things from the enemy start coming at us, we've just got to gird ourselves up and say, no, you don't. You're not taking any more from me. You've stolen from me. You've stolen from my family. You've stolen my finances. You've stolen my health. You've stolen my energy. You've stolen my house. Whatever it is that you see, you recognize, and you understand that the thief has tried to rip you off, then you dig your feet in and you say no. Because the word says the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came. And I came that you'd have life. And I came that you'd have it more abundantly. Abundant life is good, isn't it? Abundant is more than enough. Right? You always see the horn of plenty with the Thanksgiving. We just got through Thanksgiving, and you see the abundance flowing out of it. There's more than what can be contained in it, right? That's the picture we get painted. Well, what is more than enough? I come that you have life and have it more abundantly. So he wants us to have it more than enough. Pressed down, shaken together, overflowing into your lap. He wants it running out the door. Amen? He's not a wasteful God, but he's not skimpy either. Amen? Because he doesn't want you just blessed for you. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants to put into your hands so that you can put it into someone else's. Amen. That you've got to give. What do I have to give? You've got wisdom from God. Oh, I'm not that smart. Who said you had to be that smart? Amen. Revelation from God doesn't come from your brain. Amen. When it comes, it rises up and it's like, boom, wow, I never saw that before. Well, where'd you get that? It wasn't through here. It was just there. Amen? Why? Because the Spirit of God is endeavoring to get to us. Why? So that we come up to the place that we begin to walk in light of who we are, what we have. Amen? Because there is a plan. There is a design for our lives. Amen? And it's time for us to get with it and get excited about it. And understand you've got everything it takes. Everything it takes that you have need of, you have. But we need to remind ourselves of that. Because you might move in a direction and then, no, you can't do that. You're not strong enough. You're not smart enough. You don't have enough. You don't have what it takes. He's a liar. If the lies of the enemy are coming to you, what do you suppose the truth would be? Exact opposite. So he's telling you, you can't make it, you're not good enough. Guess what? You can well make it. Amen. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You have the mind of Christ. You know what to do. You know what to say. You have the favor of God on your life. He's given you everything. He's not withholding any good thing from those that walk upright. Amen. So you can just imagine, if you want, a hose coming from heaven, full of grace and glory, and you have direct access to that hose. Amen. You can tap in. How do you tap in? Through worship, through his word, through just seeking him, just being still and knowing. It's called relationship. It's not religion. God is after a divine connection. That's what he's been after since the minute he created man, was to connect with us, to be in relationship with us. Amen. Because he has things that he wants us to be aware of. Amen. He wants us to walk in the fullness of our benefits. He wants us to walk in all of them. One of the things that he redeemed for us, because we talk about our redemption, we know that we've been washed, right? We've been cleansed. We're clean. We should be guilt and shame free. If there's guilt and shame dogging you, then you need to just take your stand against it. No, the blood of Jesus covered that. Amen. That covered every sin from day one with Adam until we're out of here. That doesn't give us permission to run about in sin, because God's already covered it, because that shows a lack of respect and a lack of love, right? We're not of that people. We're rekindling that first love. Our motives are out of love. We spend time with Him not because we have to. Ever been under that guilt trip? Well, I haven't been in the Word. I better get in the Word. Oh, I'm good. I'm exhausted, but I'm going to read the Word before I go to bed. I'm telling you, we got to move out of a heart of love. Amen. God, I love Your Word. I love time with You. And if you're tired, rest in His presence. Trust that you're communing with Him. If you fall asleep in the midst of praising and worshiping or something, when you wake up, you pick where you left off. Amen. Just pick it right back up. Amen. He's not out there cracking a whip. He's saying, come on, come closer, draw near. I want to give you something. I want to impart to you more grace. I want to give you revelation of who I am and how much I really love you. That we would know the width and the depth and the height of His love. He wants us to see that. He's clear in the Word that He wants us to understand that. Because if we really grasp hold of the depth of His love, it motivates us. It challenges us. It moves us. Amen? But if we're clueless and it's just, Jesus loves me. And it's just kind of you don't have a clue, honey, of just how great that from the beginning, before the foundation of this world, the Father and the Son spent time seeing ahead, knowing what would be in the heart of man, knowing how we would respond to things, seeing that before the foundation of the world. What did He do? He was the Lamb slain. He says, Father, I'll do it. He counted the cost. Before we were created, He counted the cost and said, they're worth it. They're worth it. You're worth it. Worth what? Being beaten and ripped and stabbed, tortured, living a spotless life those years He was here without sinning. Amen. Temptation came to Him. No, Jesus wasn't tempted. He was in a flesh body. He laid aside His deity. He came and He functioned as a man to show us how we're to function, how we're to depend on God. He laid it all aside so that He came in as a man, dependent upon God. I only do what the Father shows me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Why? Because He was submissive to the Father's plan and purpose for His life, and He was going to pay the price. What did that do? He had opened all sorts of avenues for Him. Amen. He knew what to do and when to do it. Amen. He went up on the mountaintop. Remember that? He went up there, took a couple of His disciples, wound up there. God shows up. God the Father. And who else showed up? Elijah, and who else? Moses? Is that what he said? Yeah, I think so. And the apostles are, whoa, they were just beyond themselves. Amen. Do you ever get in the presence of God and get beyond yourself? And you're wowed by how magnificent His presence is? Oh, man. And it begins to manifest and your flesh stands up on end. It's like, whoa, God is here. Amen. He wants to show Himself strong more than we expect Him to show Himself strong. But, you know, on the other side of that mountain, the other disciples that didn't take time and go up with Him, you know where they were? And trying to deal with a demon-possessed boy. The father wanted his son delivered. It seemed he was having some sort of seizures. Looked like possible epileptic seizures. Not 100% sure, but that's what it looks like. He gets down and they say, your disciples couldn't do anything for me. When Jesus came down, He knew exactly what to say and exactly what to do. Why? Because He had spent time with the Father. Amen. Now we have the Spirit of the living God inside. He's to do what? Guide us, right? Direct us, empower us, help us. I love my friend Cindy from Singapore. Simplest truth that I've gained from her is no matter what we're facing, she always says, God will help me. My God's my helper. I mean, there is some, I've been in Singapore 3 times, and they're in charge of a Bible school. And the Singaporean government is very extremely particular about everything. And you don't just plop in there and do your own thing. It ain't going to happen. They have high, high standards. And you jump through every hoop or you're out of there. So there are things that they have to do that some of us have probably never thought of. And I've been there a time or two when she gets a call and she has to all of a sudden pull all this stuff together and move on it quickly. And her immediately response isn't, what am I going to do? It's, my God will help me. God will show me what to do. My God's my helper. Instant response. I've known her for years. It's always her instant response. Why? Because she is putting Him in the position. He said He would help us. Right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. He's our helper. We're not going through this life on our own at all. Amen. The love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by Christ Jesus. We've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. We have revelation coming to us. We have the wisdom of God. We are equipped. We are anointed of God. It tells us in 1 John, you have an anointing from the Holy One. You do. No, that's just pastor. No, it's not just pastor. It's not just evangelist. It's not just the fivefold ministry. It says you have it. The pastor's job is this: to train up the body for the work of the ministry. That's his job. Amen. So guess who gets to do the work? Oh, I didn't see you jump up and get excited and say, I do. You do. Amen. Well, God's a just God. He's not going to tell you to do something and then not have you equipped to do it. That anointing is there for you. And when you sit under the Word of God, when pastor gets up, when you have speakers in, there's a flow of grace that comes. There's a deposit that comes to you, an impartation of the Holy Spirit that you can partake of. And sometimes you don't even aren't even aware. Ever been to a conference and nobody prophesied over you, nobody called you out, nothing supernatural out of the ordinary happened to you that you were aware of, but you walk away from it and you're a different person? Why? Well, one, there's life in the Word. Amen. And two, there's impartations of grace that come to us. Grace is God's ability. By grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. It's a gift that comes to us. It's God's ability that comes to us. Amen. To strengthen us, to empower us. God's grace. You lay hands on the sick. If there's an anointing to do that, there's special healing anointings, that's a grace from God. And if it's just your ordinary brand A healing, amen, not something special and out of the ordinary that God's equipped you with, but it says what? The believer. Do we have any believers in here? One, two. Oh, we have a few. Yay. It says the believer. Not the fivefold ministry. So this gets it out of the realm of, well, Jesus could do it because he was Jesus. Well, the disciples could do it because they were the disciples. No, the body of Christ. The believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God has equipped us, and he is, how is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord going to cover the earth unless the body of Christ wakes up and moves out and starts doing what we're called to do? How many of you were excited in the 60s and 70s, you saw a full gospel or women's glow take off like crazy? I'm telling you, every believer that, I mean, coming out of the Episcopal and Lutheran and Methodist and Catholic Church, the body of Christ was excited about the truth they'd heard about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the empowerment, and they were going out laying hands on everybody. Some things were a little out of balance. Little bit extreme here and there. But I'd rather have a little bit of extreme than what happened, what we started teaching about how everything should be decently in order. And we started teaching on the fivefold ministry. And somehow we transitioned over the giftings that went with the fivefold ministry, and we backed off and began to reverence the fivefold ministry, and we lost some ground with the body of Christ. Amen. Oh me. We gotta pick it back up, because God's coming back to see his church working like the church should. Amen. The power of God flowing through you. The wisdom of God coming out of your lips. Amen. The love of God, they'll know we're Christians by our love. Do you see a whole lot of love out there when you walk in the world? You see old ladies getting knocked down at Black Friday? My goodness, it's insane the way people treat each other. Lack of respect and dignity, the definite lack of love. So if we come out and we're shining bright with the love of God, amen, it should make a difference, right? They're going to know, hey, there's something different about you. Why aren't you freaking out? Because I know my God's my provider. Doesn't matter what collapsed over there. My God said, I'm Jehovah Jireh. I am the God who provides for you. I'm Jehovah Rapha. Yeah, but my insurance isn't going through. I can't have anything done. You're going to the wrong doctor then. You start looking up. Yeah, I got to get my healing. No, you've already got it. You need to activate it by faith. That healing power is already resident in us. Amen. Change has got to take place when you release faith in what? What he's already done. Those stripes were sufficient. Those stripes were more than enough. Those stripes were for you and me. And it doesn't matter what realm it's in. It can be physical and emotional sickness. It can be mental illness. It can be physical things, nerves, organs, muscles, tendons. It doesn't matter what it is. He has paid the price for it all. Every single thing. Amen? Why? Because he loves you. And he wants you to be so aware of his love that he's not left anything out of his redemptive package. And one of the things that he bought back, what did Adam give up? What was the biggest thing that Adam gave up? What did he do? God said, you have dominion. You rule and reign in this earth. God set man in charge of the earth, in essence, made him God of this world to rule and to reign. Check in with him, God Almighty. But he gave us that permission to walk in a place of authority in this earth. And when we messed up, when Adam messed up, we lost our authority because Adam submitted to Satan. And when Adam submitted to Satan, who was on top? He gave away his authority. When he gave away his authority, we lost ground. We lost our position. But Jesus bought it back. Remember in Mark 16, what did he tell us? In my name, you go. We're going in his name. We're going in his authority. There's no greater authority. Amen. We have it because he's given it to us. Now we're to walk. And one of the kingdom rules is whatever you bind on earth is what? Bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is what? So we need to take a position of authority. We need to stand our ground. We need to understand that we're in charge, the devil is not. We need to grasp hold of the truth that everything we need, we've already been given, and we need to know it's all wrapped in love. Our God is amazing. He loves us so much, and he wants us to walk in all of the benefits of our salvation, all of them. Amen. He doesn't want us lacking for any good thing. And why should we if he's already paid for it? I mean, that makes what he's done in vain. You know, that's one of the things that hit me this last year. I was reading about don't take the Lord's name in vain, and all of a sudden light bulb came on. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And we think, well, let's not swear, right? You deal with that when you're young. But what does it mean to take the Lord's name in vain? It renders it useless. We don't recognize, we don't understand that we have the name that is above all names, the name that has been given to us, the name that carries authority and weight with it. We have that name. And if we don't use that name, we use it in vain. He's given us something powerful. Was God going to come through for me? He did. He already has. Bought, paid for, gift wrapped, and delivered unto us. Are we going to do anything with it? And my time has gotten away from me. Sorry. You can tell I need to go back to Ghana so I can teach for hours on end. Actually, I get to go this week, Tuesday. And for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to teach Identity in Christ video to the students over there. So I'm excited about that. But I've been able to do that a couple times, teach in the Bible schools through video conference. And Ghana is always interesting because you never know if it's going to, your connection's going to be there the whole time, or it's a challenge. So if you think of us the next 3 weeks, pray for those challenges. but God, amen. God wants all of us to come up to the place where we are confidently walking in the gift, the calling, the authority, the grace, the wisdom. He's our helper. He's going to do it. Do we expect him to? We gotta raise our expectation and know that God is God. He'll do it. Amen? He's such a good God. Amen. Amen. Can I pray for y'all? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Lord God. Oh, you're so good to us. You are so faithful in all of your ways. We're so thankful. We're so grateful. We're so grateful to be in the hour when the body of Christ is going to rise up. It's in the process right now, rising up and taking her place. We thank you, Lord, for helping to shake the dust off of us and open our eyes from our slumber to see and recognize who we are in you and why. Father God, I just pray that this remnant that is here, on fire, excited, zealous for the things of God, we thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you that you're preparing them every day, and you're leading and directing their footsteps, directing them to who you'd have them in contact with, the love of God just flowing in them and through them and to them because of your great love. So, Father, I just pray that each one would be stirred. We pray for revelation to begin to come in a greater measure. We pray for grace to grow in abundance, Lord God, that as they yield with what they have, that you cause increase for that. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for your healing anointing, that power that's resident in our bodies, Lord God, for it to go forth to wherever it's needed right now. Eyes to see and ears to hear. We thank you for crisp clarity of mind. We thank you for organs, hearts, brains, everything working together the way that it should. Everything in sync one with another. Healthy blood flow. We thank you for it, Lord. Healthy hearts. Healthy lungs, healthy joints, free from pain. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you. And we give you praise and we give you honor. Hallelujah. There's things we're to change or adjust in, then I pray your Holy Spirit not let us slide on those things. If it's going to make a difference in our life, then bring it to our attention over and over again, Lord, that we can incorporate and walk that thing out so you can be glorified in and through each and every one of us. We thank you for it, Lord God. Oh, you're so good. You're so faithful to watch over your word to perform it. And we give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.